This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Bobby McFerrin. Vocalist, one-man band, genre-defying force of nature. It's hard to pin down exactly how to describe the 2020 NEA Jazz Master. His influences aren't drawn from one or two sources. Bobby draws from every source of music in the world. His musical reservoir is so deep, yet he always strives to remain connected to the people on the ground.
You know, if I had to call myself something, it would be a folk singer. And I usually sing the songs of the folk, of the people that I'm usually around. You know, if they're from East India, you know, I sing East Indian music, folk music. Bluegrass, then I'm a bluegrass folk music singer.
He's got 10 Grammy Awards ranging from jazz vocal performance to classical crossover to children's album. A true musical chameleon. And forgive me, because this week I'm going to be in full-on fanboy mode. We got to chop it up one-on-one. He told me stories about collaborators, early years, and the power of music. I've wanted to talk with and play with Bobby for a while now. Ironically, that chance came to be during the pandemic, with both of us on different sides of the country, me in my basement in New Jersey, and Bobby in a studio near his home in California. But we finally got to chat, and yes, we even jammed a little bit. You made me want to grab my bass.
Well, get it.
More on our transcontinental duet later. Bobby started off our chat telling me about his aha moment. The exact day and hour he realized that he was a singer.
I was 27, July the 11th, Salt Lake City, Utah, around noon. I suddenly knew I was a singer. I had known I was a musician, and I studied piano for a while. And at 10, I was really into clarinet, and I was very disappointed and heartbroken when my orthodontist told me that I couldn't play the clarinet anymore because it was interfering with the work that the braces were doing.
Oh.
So that was my first heartbreak. But it's kind of a good thing because I would have ended up in an orchestra somewhere.
Right, right.
You know, but at 27, I was walking home from the University of Utah Dance Department at lunchtime. It was around noon. And between the campus and my home, I knew I was a singer. So I went to the Yellow Pages. Remember Yellow Pages?
Yeah, absolutely.
And looked at the hotel section and called the Hilton Hotel. They had a piano bar there. And I asked for an audition, you know. And the manager, he says, it's a good thing you got me because I never really come in. So can you come in tomorrow? So I went in the next day, sang five songs. You Are the Sunshine of My Life. A tune by Joan Armatrading called Opportunity, a tune by a group called Blind Faith. I sang that. Come down off your throne and leave your body alone. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. Somebody must change. You are the reason I've been waiting all these years. I sang that. But he hired me on the spot. I didn't know. But those five tunes, that was it. So I had a month to learn about 30 pieces. So I learned a song a day.
Wow.
So when the day came, I knew I had enough material. I had to do three sets a night for the attitude adjustment hour from 4 to 7 o'clock. And that's how my career started.
Let's hear one of the tunes that was in his early repertoire when he was playing his first gigs as a singer. This song comes from his fourth studio album, Simple Pleasures, and features electrifying vocal layers. It's all Bobby. This is Sunshine of Your Love.
Well, it's getting too dark. When life's losing tired eyes, I'll soon be with you, my love, to give you my dark surprise. Thank you. you my love. It's the morning and just we two. I stay with you, darling, now. I stay with you, feel my seeds all die. I've been waiting so long to be where I go away in the sunshine of your love.
Bobby McFerrin doing Sunshine of Your Love. It appeared on the same album as his massive hit, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Don't Worry, Be Happy was the first a cappella song to reach number one on pop charts all over the world. It won 1989 Song of the Year and Record of the Year at the Grammys. But that piece, and the entire Simple Pleasures album, used Bobby's groundbreaking imaginative overdubbing technique, stacking vocal parts on top of one another.
Don't worry, don't worry.
But back when he was just getting his start as a singer, he didn't have any of those tools at his disposal. It was just him at a piano in a hotel bar.
In the beginning, I wasn't sure what kind of singer I was, because it took me a while to figure out what kind of singer I wanted to be. Did I want to be a blues singer, a jazz singer?
Right.
What? You know, I had a lot of questions. But a good place to sit down for a while I was figuring that out was a piano bar. I just found pieces that I liked and would learn the piano parts. Then I would just, you know, sing. And I did that for about a year and a half. But then I started seeing myself on stage alone, really inspired by Keith Jarrett's solo piano work.
Yeah.
And I thought, now that would be an interesting thing to do as a vocalist, you know, a singer on stage without a band. In my early interviews, every single one of the interviews would say, well, who's in your band? And I said, right. Well, I don't have a band.
Right.
So what's accompanying you? Did you make a tape of some kind? I said, no. He said, you're accompanying yourself on guitar. No. I'm singing by myself a cappella. So in the beginning, it was kind of hard for reviewers or interviewers to understand what I was about. In fact, some people in the audience thought I was a comedian and would start laughing.
Right.
Which was a bit discouraging. But, you know, I had this vision and I had to pursue it.
Bobby's skill set is so deep, all he needs is a microphone and a stage. His solo concerts can be entirely improvised. Bouncing between the bass line, percussion, and lead melody, Bobby puts together a musical experience that you just have to hear to believe.
Oh, drive so far. Oh, no one's gonna find me. You have my foot on the gas. Oh, accelerate.
Long before Bobby broke out onto the scene in the 80s, he had lived a life absorbing musical appreciation from his parents, especially his father, singer Robert McFerrin.
The finest baritone that ever walked the planet, as far as I'm concerned. He was fabulous on stage. He had such great rapport with the audience.
Wow.
And it's probably where I got my ease on stage, because just watching him, he was so easygoing about stuff.
Bobby's dad had a Hollywood moment as the voice behind an iconic role played by the late Sidney Poitier.
He did Sidney Poitier's voice in Porgy and Bess.
Wow.
Because Sidney couldn't sing a lick. He couldn't sing a note. So they got my dad in there to do his singing voice.
Let's hear the voice of Robert McFerrin featured on one of Bobby's recordings. This is Discipline from the 1990 album Medicine Music.
For those who have been trained by it, no discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time of the painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, pleasant at the time, but it's painful.
Bring up your feeble arms, bring up your wicked knees. Fix your mind on things above, above where he is king, above where he is king. Bring up your feeble arms, bring up your wicked knees. Set your heart on things above, above where we will be, above where we will be.
For those who have been trained by it, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, pleasant at the time, but it's painful.
Make leather pads for your feet. Make leather pads for your feet. Strengthen it up on a feeble mind so he can make it heal. So you can make it straighten up your feeble arm. Straighten up your wicked knees. Fix your mind on things above, above where we are free, above where we will be.
For those who have been trained by it, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but it's painful.
That was Discipline from Bobby McFerrin featuring his dad, Robert McFerrin. Speaking of discipline, you need a whole lot of that when you're taking on classical music, and Bobby understood that. But a night out seeing Miles Davis turned his whole world upside down.
This was a divinely appointed event that happened in my life. And I literally walked on a cloud out of that club that night.
Wow.
I mean, my whole molecular structure was altered. It was changed.
Wow.
I was a composition student in college. And I basically would write everything out, you know, solos that I wanted played and stuff like that. I never wrote out another solo. That night he taught me what improvisation was and how to do it. To me, because of what he taught that improvisation was simply motion. You know, all the intellectual stuff comes later. The first thing is the courage just to move, just to go, just to proceed from one note to the next.
Right.
And I learned that night.
Here's Bobby with Miles Davis's Salim from the 1995 album Bang Zoom.
Thank you.
That was Bobby McFerrin performing Miles Davis's Salim. When we return, Bobby talks about the power of collaboration with cellist Yo-Yo Ma, the late Chick Corea, and even his own audience. This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Welcome back to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. This episode, I'm talking with master musician Bobby McFerrin.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Davey's broken wings and learn to fly.
As you can hear, Bobby is capable of creating magic solo. But when he connects with other musicians, the sum is often greater than his parts. Whether it's with Herbie Hancock, the Yellow Jackets, or an entire symphony orchestra, Bobby fits seamlessly with whoever he's playing with. I asked him about a special musical collaborator we had in common, Chick Corea.
He was probably my favorite playing pal.
Yeah.
We knew each other musically very, very well. We had the same love for improv.
Right.
We had talked about when we retire, we were going to play in a nightclub in Vegas. I changed my name to Frank Miller, and he was Creedmoor Freeman. So Miller and Freeman were going to storm the stages in Vegas, you know, wearing our velvet suits with the ruffled shirts.
That's great.
Miller and Freeman, and play standards like Singing in the Rain in the typical nightclub scene, and then take it way, way out after that, after we played a verse. So I miss him a lot because he was one of a kind. I mean, the whole globe has changed because he's died.
Right.
The whole atmosphere of music has changed. We played together. We had a standing date every day, Monday through Friday, for 6 months, April through October. Everybody was basically, you know, sheltered in place. And we wanted to play together. So we just, for each other and to each other. It wasn't to, for the public or for people to hear. It was just for the two of us just to play some Bud Powell and some Monk and some jazz pieces and some improv.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. I'm so glad I had the opportunity to spend that kind of time with him because I learned so much. He was so lucid and so free.
Yes.
He was so free. And he could play anything. He really, really could. He was game.
Yes.
He was ready to go. Okay, let's go. Let's go.
Chick and Bobby collaborated often, just the two of them. They improvised, played the hits, and explored new worlds. Their album, Mozart Sessions, gave the two polymaths an opportunity to celebrate their love for the classical composer in a way only Bobby and Chick could. This is Song for Amadeus, improvisational Mozart Sonata No. 2 in F major.
Yeah.
that was hip, wasn't it? Bobby McFerrin and Chick Corea playing Song for Amadeus, improvisation on Mozart's Sonata No. 2 in F major.
Ding, 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 ding.
Through the classical music world, Bobby found another playful and fearless collaborative partner in cellist Yo-Yo Ma.
He's pretty wild. We don't get to see that part of him, but he's kind of nutty too. We did an album called Hush. I'd written about 5 tunes, which we recorded. The producer just brought in a stack of classical stuff. And we would go through a piece and decide, nah, we don't want to play that, or nah, that's not it.
Right.
Or, you know, this sounds pretty good. Let's see what we can do with this. And so we play it. One tune, Flight of the Bumblebee. Oh, it's been a while since I've sung that. So anyway. That ended up on the album. I was actually leaving the studio. I was walking out the door, saying goodnight to everybody, and Yo-Yo just started playing that. And I said, well, teach me this piece. And so we recorded it the next day, and it ended up on the album.
Wow.
So a lot of stuff was just decided on the spot, you know.
Yeah.
There was no master plan at all. It was just, let's play this, let's try that.
Why don't we check out Bobby and Yo-Yo Ma on a musical adventure with Musette, a tune by Johann Sebastian Bach. Seeing Bobby McFerrin perform live is a trip. Bobby's love for his audience is heartfelt and unique. When we spoke in 2021, I asked him if it's been tough not being able to perform live the past few years.
Well, I miss him because the audience was my band.
You heard that right. Bobby collaborates with his audience. Bringing them into the process creates a special, welcoming musical experience that you just have to hear.
Ba, ba, ba.
Bobby plays the audience, especially during his circle song experiences.
It's fun. It's fun doing. And I'd have people come up on stage. I say, I need about 12 singers, knowing that I was going to get 48. People would just come up on stage, and then I'd create this choir, you know, during the concert.
Let's hear Circle Song 6 from 1997's Circle Songs.
Yeah.
McFerrin with the Circle Songs Project, a project he still keeps up to this day, hosting workshops in the Bay Area. When we come back, Bobby tells us about the healing power of music and its playful side. Plus, I finally get the chance to jam with Bobby McFerrin. This is Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. You're listening to Jazz Night in America. I'm Christian McBride. Vocalist Bobby McFerrin has spent a life sharing beautiful, soul-nourishing music to the world, without labels, without ego. Whether on stage or off, it's always been important for Bobby to find the space to play. For Bobby's 2020 NEA Jazz Master induction, the late Chick Corea admired that quality in his musical partner.
That's where Bobby and I connect. On that level, we both know that that's what's happening and that's what we love to do and go out, and it's not serious and it's just a lot of fun. We go out on stage with this intention to just create. We never make a plan. There's never a set list. It's a pure improvisation from beginning to end, and there are very few musicians I can do that with. And feel comfortable and feel like the music is connecting and the audience is connecting. And it's a thrill and an adventure.
Let's hear Bobby and Chick with Blues Connotation from their aptly titled 1992 record, Play.
Did it?
That was Chick Corea and Bobby McFerrin performing Blues Connotation from Play. Bobby's children, Taylor, Javon, and Madison, have also joined in on the fun and have all pursued creative paths. Taylor McFerrin is a DJ, producer, and a part of the group R plus R equals Now. Javon McFerrin is an actor and has appeared on Broadway in Hamilton and on the BET show 20s.
This industry will always be frustrating for us. That's not going to stop us from pursuing our dreams.
And Madison McFerrin is a vocalist who, like her dad, puts on shows solo. She also performs with her dad and Taylor sometimes. At the end of the day, Bobby has been on a spiritual mission through music, touching all corners of the globe with joy.
The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need.
And whether you're a collaborator, an audience member, or a listener, the healing nature you can find in Bobby McFerrin's music is undeniable.
My mother taught me that music was medicine because she would give me my pills for pain and music for really taking my mind off the pain. You know, sometimes you have to draw yourself away from pain in order to cure yourself. Because I believe that a lot of healing takes place when you're relaxed, when you're at your most relaxed state, your most peaceful state.
And fills my heart with song.
I sing my way into each day. Before I do anything else, the first thing I do is I get down on my knees and sing and pray. What can I say? It's something that I do.
She has said she won't forsake me. I'm in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever, forever and ever. Glory be to our mother and daughter, and to the Holy of Holies, as it was in the beginning, is now.
Mr. Bobby McFerrin, again, I say, sir, you are a national treasure.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Before we split, Bobby and I got to play a little together over Zoom. Someday, I hope we can play in person. But for now, this will have to do. Still, an unforgettable moment. Now,
that was nice.
What a way to get my first jam ever with the great Bobby McFerrin. Let's go out with Drive from Simple Pleasures.
Catch me. so far. Oh, no one's gonna find me. No, put my foot on the gas. Oh, accelerate. Oh, drive so fast. Oh, no one's gonna catch me.
Jazz Night in America is a production of WBGO Studios, Jazz Lincoln Center, and NPR Music. Special thanks to Linda Goldstein and Different Fur Studios in San Francisco. This week's episode was written and produced by Trevor Smith and Alex Arif, our senior producer. Katie Simon was our consulting editor. Our team includes Sarah Gilletti, Nate Chenin, and Saraya Muhammad, our project manager. Keith Jenkins is the senior director of music and visuals at NPR. Executive producers are Gabrielle Armand and Anya Grundman. I'm Christian McBride.